Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosi. The show is available as a podcast, and it's also available on iTunes. And joining me in studio today, an old friend of the show, and he's like relative, guests are like certain relatives. It's been too long since you were last here. The artistic director of Indie Film Fest, which is already up and flying now, Craig Mentz is in studio. Hi, Craig.
Ahoy, hoy. So who would I be in the family? Am I like that?
You're the uncle.
That,
no, you're the uncle who takes the kids to Hooters for lunch, as am I. Or till right. No, I'll give you the. I'll tell you
Let's
what.
Go with
I'll give you the choice of your favorite restaurant.
I'm going to go with Hooters on that one. Okay. I think it's the only one I've ever been to.
Unless we get a remote. Maybe we should work on getting a remote from either Tilted Kilt or Twin Peaks. I don't think the kilt's there anymore.
I don't either, actually.
Sometime, if you see me on the street, let me tell you about the one and only time I took baby Emma for a business meeting.
Of course.
At Hooters. She did well than I did. Much better. So anyway, so the Film Fest, by the time you're listening to this, the Film Fest is up and flying. You had your opening night festivities on Thursday.
Correct.
What was the film and how did it go?
It was a drama, which, you know, we try to always come out of the shoot with something funny, but we tried something a little different this time, and we're with a drama called Them They Follow. It's a new film from Orchard Films, and it stars, amongst many people, Olivia Colman.
Oscar winner, bracket buster,
right.
Olivia Colman. Congrats.
And then local hero Jim Gaffigan.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie basically takes place in a small town in the Appalachias. And it follows a teenage girl as she navigates kind of small town life. Her father's the preacher at the church. And big surprise, the church is a snake handling church. And let's say hilarity kind of ensues.
Well, because the last 20 news items I've heard involving snake handling preachers have all been the same: death by snake bite.
Correct.
So,
it's an interesting film, very dramatic film. It's a new perspective to see Jim Gaffigan play a role like this.
He's the dad.
He's not the preacher. He is the father of the quote unquote boyfriend character in the movie. Very devout follower of the church and follows the doctrines of the church, and you know has to be. He's faced with some many hard decisions.
Now, him and Coleman are not a couple.
They are a married couple in the movie.
Okay, because my last favorite Jim Gaffigan pairing was when he was married to Allison Janney in Away We Go. So, way to go, Jim!
Yeah, right.
But it was well received.
Very well received. We always worry when we put a movie like out there, like especially in kind of that tentpole scenario, are people gonna like it? Are they going to respect it? And everybody like left thinking about it. And I think that's the best thing you could do when it comes to something like that is conversation, thought,
yep.
Afterthought.
Rational thought.
Yeah,
and conversation.
Exactly. Not like, oh my gosh, knee jerk, that was, you know, weird or whatever. Everybody was like, they internalized it. They talked about it at the after party. And it was, I think that's what you want in a film like that.
But I think you also had, as you met, an Indiana link,
mm-hmm.
and some big names, which is mm-hmm. a pretty good criteria for an opening night film.
Correct. We always try to put something out there, you know, to bookend the festival that is something special, and this one we felt was very special given the ties to Indiana and to Olivia Colman and just the fact that this dramatic film, you know, will – play heavy on you, and it's a good movie.
Now, do we know when it's going to get a national or
they haven't
when will
a
it open
date.
In the?
It will hit theaters. You will see it whether it's a theater.
It'll hit the big three, yeah. And then we'll get it like a month after.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a New York, L.A., you know, potentially Chicago release, and then we'll get it. Yeah, like a month later.
Because is this the follow up for Coleman after the?
Yeah,
three?
This is the
so
yeah.
Somebody's going to yeah. They're going to utilize
they're gonna get
that.
It out there. They're going to
so,
get it out there.
Cool. So okay, by the time at the time we're recording this, so I guess what is going on this weekend?
Yeah, we've got quite a bit going on. World premieres Friday night tonight. We have Good Monsters, which is another film by Ryan Bayless. He has been to the festival a couple times, and it follows a local artist by the name of Eric Stein. They met 10 years ago when Ryan was here for the first film festival that he came for. And Ryan became so fascinated by him that he decided to do a documentary about him. It's this beautiful portrayal of, you know, a man trying to find his way in the world. Just beautifully done. That's Friday. Saturday, we have quite a big slate throughout the day, but then we have our awards night that evening with a film called Wild Rose, which is a Scottish singer, and she wants to be a country musician. So it's really cute. It's really well done.
And Julie Walters, her mom.
Yeah.
That's Mrs. Weasley for some of you, but yeah.
So, you know, we've got that, and then we've got a couple of the big titles that we're going to be playing later on in the festival. So following Friday, May 10th, I believe, we're going to have at 7 o'clock Danny Boyle's new movie, which is called Yesterday.
Yeah, the fact that it's a film that is wrapped around the music of the Beatles.
Correct. And it's just stunning. I mean, it's such a great follow-up for him. It's written by the gentleman who did Love Actually, so it's kind of got that sense of humor.
Richard Curtis.
Yeah, Richard Curtis. So you get Danny Boyle in a romantic comedy that revolves around the Beatles. It's like it's a win-win-win.
That's a built-in date night already.
Right? And it doesn't actually come out in theaters nationally until late June. So this will be the best time to check it out.
See, this is you get to get a little bit of street nerd film cred by attending the festival, folks.
Yeah, exactly. And then we close out the festival on Saturday the 11th with Jesse Eisenberg's new movie, The Art of Self-Defense, which is a very dry comedy. And Mr.
From Jesse Eisenberg,
right? And you know, it's one of those movies you just kind of have to see it.
Okay, so the website is
indiefilmfest.org.
Now, how are the local the Indiana film input this year?
Strong as ever. In all honesty, like kudos to all local filmmakers. They continue to hone the craft and just turn in these stunning works. We have quite a few locally made films that are playing throughout the festival, quite a few shorts. I know Monday evening we actually have a special Hoosier Block. So
cool.
I think it's the 7 o'clock time slot on Monday. You can actually check out a majority, if not all, of the Hoosier made short films in one sitting.
Okay. And where are the different locations?
It's all at Newfields.
It is. All of it. Okay.
We've added a third theater that we call The Lodge. It's a smaller theater, seats about 35. It's a really fun way to watch a movie because it's so intimate. It's a very small setting. So we now have three theaters running all at Newfields, free parking. Our box office is just right inside the doors. You can't miss us.
So let's go back to the day after last year's.
Yes.
What happens?
Everybody goes to sleep.
Okay. All right. After you wake up.
After I know you wake up.
Now you start planning.
You start
for
planning
this year.
For the following year. Actually, that's already all in motion because you have to have things set and ready. But realistically, after you know a few days of the festival's closing, everybody's back up and running to get things ready for the next year. You know, it's fun to think that a festival like this just happens over the course of a couple months, but it is a year-round planning session, and we're all volunteers, so we all have day jobs.
Right.
Nobody gets paid to do this, so it's something that we have to start a little bit earlier, put those submissions out. I mean, in all honesty, the longest part of the festival is watching all the movies.
When did you start watching for this year?
It was late summer by the time we actually started diving in and watching movies. It's at least a minimum 6-month process to get through everything, because we get thousands of submissions, and you know, as is the case, I think, with all film festivals, like good, bad, and different, you watch them all the way through. So, and multiple people watch them to make sure that we are giving every, because it is a curated, juried event with a cash prize. We give everybody a level playing field and make sure that it's all very fair and done properly.
I have a feeling you have stacks of movies at your house.
You know, it used to be when I started. When it started, it was like DVDs, like everything came on DVDs. Everything's digital now, so it's just it's data. It's all links and passwords. But definitely, like I actually have a binder of old DVDs from old film festival films.
I'm still of the old fogey thing of you know unless you physically own it until you because you know Netflix and Hulu and the others could snap their fingers Josh Brolin style and it goes away.
Thanos goes away.
Thank you. Meanwhile, I'm feeling more and more like Burgess Meredith in the Twilight Zone. I pray to God my glasses don't break when I have all of my movies. So I would say how many films were submitted and how many are being featured this year?
You know, honestly, ballpark. I was not in the submission process this year as artistic director. I know it was well over, it was over 1,000, if not close to 1,500 films. We programmed 143.
Okay.
So it's a good chunk of them, but.
And how many returnees? Do you think? Because you've already mentioned a couple people that have been here before.
Yeah, there's a few. You know, honestly, you know, when you get in the groove with a festival, I would imagine from a filmmaker's standpoint, like the style of the film, the storytelling nature of the film, it doesn't guarantee that you get back in if you're an alumnus, right?
Like, sure.
You can have an off year and make a pretty bad movie, and it's happened. But, you know, you start to get in a groove with certain filmmakers, and their movies play really well to not only the screening audience, but then also just the general audience. So it programs really well here in Indianapolis. So I think we have a dozen or so returning filmmakers.
That's good.
But we have, like, all this weekend, the first weekend of the festival, like, there are a lot of filmmakers inbound. Like, the Alexander's packed with Indie Film Fest filmmakers.
So what's cool, ladies and gentlemen, and actually, what I'm getting to next is the website, which tickled me a little bit. So you have a chance to see films that you're not going to see anywhere else.
Correct.
A chance to see films before they've opened, if you're into just the big name people. You also have a chance to be a part of the unofficial hospitality team here in Indianapolis, because there are events and, you know, and there's volunteers, and you want to be, you know, it's, think of this as the Super Bowl for film folk.
Yeah, it totally is. And Indianapolis, you know, whether it be us, Heartland, you know, any of these film festivals with inbound filmmakers, there's never a bad word. Like, Indianapolis and Indiana in general puts on a good show.
Yep.
Hoosier hospitality definitely is a thing, and people do respond to it because, you know, I've had many a filmmaker come and afterwards tell us, like, we're never treated this well, you know, anywhere. So, yeah, it is. It's definitely like a cultural thing to, you know, get these filmmakers like reconsidering Indiana. Now, obviously, you know, we don't really have tax incentives to make movies. If that were to change,
working,
I feel like,
on it.
Yeah, we're working on it. I should say when that changes. I think you're going to see a lot of these people that had great experience in this state realize that, hey, that's a really interesting place to make a movie.
Dear state people, you know who you
Please
are.
Please listen.
Okay, so the website, which again is indiefilmfest.org, what tickles me, because I think you and I have been involved in the film business in our own ways for quite a long time, but the website basically just says how to festival.
Yeah.
And I think for some novices, they think it's intimidating. It's getting the right credentials and going here and going there and what do I do and, you know, cattle and in and out. But I love the fact that it's just a very simple way that festival, you know, you can do festivaling as well.
Oh,
that's
easily.
A word.
It can be daunting up front, but it's really just coming prepared, being open, and being ready. I mean, and we try to just educate folks that, you know, it is, once you get in there, it's like, it's a whole new world. You're in a place where you're with like-minded film fans that, you know, whether they like the movies that you like or not, like, there is a film that's there for you, probably multiple films that you're going to like. And it's best to come prepared, in all honesty. Just be ready. Know what you want to see, at least in one scenario, and be open to be exposed to other things that, you know, would tickle your fancy.
And you can chat with people in the halls of Newfields after
that. You can come find me. I'm sure I'll be there every night.
So this is running through next Sunday?
Sunday we do our best of. So all the award winners play again on Sunday to give everybody the chance to see those. So technically, you could just come on Sunday, watch the best of the fest. You would miss quite a bit, but you'd get to see the top, you know, voted, you know, juried winners.
There you go, folks. So go to indiefest, filmfest.org and check it out and learn how to festival.
See all the little cute monsters that run around the webpage.
Yes, there is that too. Will they play basketball against the Ugly Dolls?
Ooh, we could probably make that happen.
That runs this, yeah. Since that also opens.
What would you call that
weekend.
Like? Space Jam's 2?
Oh, that's already happening.
Oh,
because
okay.
Well, Space LeBron James. I'm sorry, LeBron James has time right now. Sorry, that's an easy
that's
dig.
Blow.
That's whatever. Okay, if for some reason you can't make the new fields this weekend, one of the films opening is the Hungarian film Sunset. This is the follow up for director László Nemes, who gave us Son of Saul a few years back. Set in pre-World War I Hungary, about a young woman who was the daughter of a hat manufacturing icon company. They died in a fire. She has come back in her 20s to find out more about the family business, some family secrets, and apparently there's a sibling she did not know about. And the film stars Julie Jacob, who was also in Son of Saul. And it kind of looks like, because it's pre-World War I, it looks like a costume drama. Hi, Kobe. I know it's your favorite. It does have that kind of Masterpiece Theater feel look to it. But there's also more intrigue as far as the business and some of the politics in Hungary before WW1. There's a lot of... And if you remember Son of Saul, a gut punch of a film about the Holocaust, finding a new angle on that particular subject. And I think of I always think of the beginning of that film where the protagonist's job is the one who gathers the clothes after the showers. That's his job. Ugh. There's a lot of shots in this film of the camera following her from behind with these really long, impressive single take, probably handheld tracking shots in a big with, you know, hundreds of extras.
Yeah.
It is style wise impressive. It's also probably 45 minutes too long. It's 2 hours and 25 minutes. And I think if you know, not as much walking as Lord of the Rings, but I think if you were to cut in on some of that a little bit, you could still have some of the mystery. The film is anchored by Julie's performance. I kept thinking this is an Elizabeth Mossian type performance when it comes to determination, especially with a woman who is known by name, has barely a name, and that's about it going for her, and her determination to find out her secrets. So it's well done. It's just flawed in its length. So that is opening. The film Sunset, the Hungarian film Sunset, is opening at the your favorite theater on the north side of the bar. So that is happening up there. Mark your calendars because, well, this week IU Cinema's on rest because it's graduation weekend. But Saturday, May 11th, here's an event, folks. The 1959 through 1961 Beyond Epic documentary film. No, I'm sorry, the film The Human Condition. There will be a 45-minute intermission approximately 5 hours into the screening for a meal break. Food truck services will be available outside of IU Cinema from 5:10 to 5:55. Mark, synchronize your watches.
They do have very comfy seats.
This is a 9.5-hour film, The Human Condition, back on Saturday the 11th. Thursday the 16th, the 2012 documentary Celluloid Man at 7 o'clock, Thursday the 16th. Friday the 17th, this was way more fascinating than I thought it was going to be. The documentary from last year, John McEnroe in the Realm of Perfection. It is not let's just look at John be a hothead for 90 minutes. It's about his process and almost has a Herzogian look approach to his determination to be the best. So that is Friday the 17th. Saturday the 18th, 1966, War and Peace. Also, 45-minute intermission, 4 hours into the screening. Food truck service will be available outside IU Cinema from 4 to 4:45 on Saturday the 18th. Don't say this very often. Pray for rain that day. Then you'll have an excuse to go check that out. Thursday, May 23rd, the 2018 documentary at 7 o'clock, They Shall Not Grow Old in 3D. That is also running Friday the 24th. And then you've heard me rant and rave about this. Mark your calendars. Thursday, May 30th, Friday, May 31st at 7 o'clock, the documentary Amazing Grace, the great Aretha Franklin gospel concert film, directed by Sidney Pollack, finally restored thanks to technology, and not to be missed. And then on Saturday, June 1st, they're showing all three Matrix films.
Can't miss it.
Can't miss that. So anyway, that is happening over down at IU. The Art Craft Theater in Franklin, if you're listening to this on Saturday, 2 and 7:30 p.m., The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. So old films on a big screen is always good.
It is.
I don't care how big your TV is.
It's not the same.
It's a communal event. The theater's a gathering place. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mrs. Sosi. But yeah, John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart, and John Ford, and Lee Marvin. Old Greg Haggard Lee Marvin. Anyway, that is 2 and 7:30 p.m. at the Art Craft Theater. On Friday and Saturday, May 10th and 11th, 2 and 7:30 p.m., The Wizard of Oz. Happening there.
Well, I think always to throw in with the Art Craft is all presentations, unless there's an issue, are in 35 millimeter. So it's
yep.
chances to see these things on celluloid, which is very special.
Exactly.
The Wizard of Oz on film is well worth the 25, 35 minute drive down to Franklin and the $5 ticket to see it.
Five. So there you go. And the drive. I grew up in Flint, Michigan, and mm-hmm. we had an art house theater in suburban Detroit. So in the early 80s, this was the place where I saw Diner, Montenegro, mm-hmm. My Dinner with Andre, Tender Mercies, I believe I saw down there. So I've always been trained to drive for stuff.
Oh, it's worth it.
So,
it's totally worth it. And Franklin's a fun little town.
Yeah.
It's a great little downtown.
You can have a full evening before
Correct.
And after.
Yeah.
And then Friday and Saturday, May 17th and 18th at the Art Craft Theater at 2 and 7:30 p.m., Trading Places.
Oh, classic.
Good stuff there. And a free senior showing of The Wizard of Oz Thursday the 9th at 1:30 p.m. for anyone 55 and over.
You know where I'll be.
I'm sorry. I just read this, so I have to do it. Tickets available for pickup at Swartz Community Mortuary. All right. I'm sorry. I'm just reading information. It is May, which means it is, well, I think they were already open before, but I'm finally just getting to it. The return of drive-in season.
Mm-hmm.
Always go. Do you remember the last time you were at a drive-in?
I actually went in the fall. I saw the new Halloween film at the drive-in.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, immensely.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
David Gordon Green's attempt to... Now, it wasn't the Rob Zombie remake.
No.
It was the Haddonfield 2018.
Yes.
Okay.
And just the experience of seeing a movie like that at the drive-in, it just made sense. Could have seen it in any theater. It was playing at the IMAX.
Could you hear the crowd in the car,
no.
the other cars?
No, not
okay,
at all.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Do the yawn stretch. Anyway, at the Tibbs Drive-In. Oh, boy. Of course, 8:55 on screen one time only, of course, Avengers Endgame.
Of course.
Followed by Captain Marvel at 12:10. Screen two, you have Longshot, which also opened this weekend. The reunion, it's a Green Hornet reunion between Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron.
Did you see it?
No, I saw Sunset instead.
I wish
all presidential candidates look like Charlize Theron. But and, of course, Seth Rogen gets to hang out with her. So way mm-hmm. to go, pal. Anyway, the Long Shot, or actually just called Long Shot at 8, and then at 11:15, The Upside, the American version of The Impossibles. Or is it The Intouchables, the French film?
Ooh, I don't know.
Okay. Screen 3, The Intruder, which I really want to see because I want to see Dennis Quaid chew scenery.
Yeah.
The home invasion thriller. He's now at that stage in his career where a young couple have bought his house and the old guy just keeps hanging out. So, and I was telling Emma, because Emma likes to look at young Dennis Quaid. I think the last time he chewed this much scenery was playing Jerry Lee Lewis in Great mm-hmm. Balls of Fire.
Yeah.
So I'm... Look, this is popcorn cocktail movie right here.
Totally.
And then at this will be followed by, and I'm going to butcher this, The Curse of La Llorona?
Yes.
Okay. And then screen 4, okay, Ugly Dolls and Little.
Just kind of interesting pairing.
I'm like, okay, is it the same studio?
Did they watch Little?
I don't know. And so anyway, that is happening at the Tibbs Drive-In. At the Skyline, you have, now here's a fascinating double feature, Avengers Endgame, of course, followed by Us.
Whoa.
Let's have fun going to sleep after seeing that. So anyway, that is happening at the Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville. A few films of note on Blu-ray. One for me, the first really, really good film of 2019, or at least it came to America in 2019, the Mads Mikkelsen film Arctic. It's kind of his version of All Is Lost, the Robert Redford at Sea film, only replace sea with Greenland. Yeah. And
which is not green.
But it is plenty of land and cold.
And
Mikkelsen is a man who survived a plane crash, and we go right into survival mode, what has been his daily routine, and what happens when he has encounters with another human being who is also stranded out in the middle of land. This was one of those films, and Craig, you know about this, about as far as inflicting guilt on moviegoers, yes, it's fun to see it at home. Mm-hmm. It's better to see it on a big screen. I wish I'd seen Arctic on a big screen.
Movies like that, those sweeping epics, like, you put yourself in a theater, and you'll feel cold. Like, you'll start to sense what the character senses, and it's those type of movies, they just have to be experienced in a theater.
And I had an emotional rush watching it at my desk, and I just kept thinking it would be five
so
times
better.
This more on a big screen. So now it's on Blu-ray. So anyway, I would say if you're a fan of All Is Lost, check this out. I really, really enjoyed it. And Criterion is now put out on Blu-ray, because I love there is no rhyme or reason. You just get different films released at the same time. My Brilliant Career, one of the great Australian films from the late 70s. And finally, I can't believe this is fine. It took this long, but on Blu-ray from Criterion, Jackie Chan's Police Story 1 and 2.
And is it a double disc?
It's a double disc.
Nice.
So, and this is him in his early days.
Yeah.
Great stunts. So the original Police Story 2 was renamed Super Cop.
Mm-hmm.
This is also the one that introduced a lot of people to Michelle Yeoh, who did the great motorcycle jump on the moving train. I think that moment got her the Bond girl status in Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yeah.
So, but kudos to Criterion for acknowledging Jackie Chan's awesomeness, and now it's out. So go check that out. Need to shift gears a little bit. We're going to talk about Dead People We Like, because we never have time for Dead People We Don't Like. Craig and I are we're of a similar age range.
Yep.
You were how old when the first Star Wars film came out?
I was interesting story. I was born May 25th, 1977, which was the day Star Wars opened.
Was your mom there? Or
no,
the film did not induce her.
No, she was so overcome with amazingness that then I was born.
It's the cinematic immaculate conception.
Yes. So I did not see the first film in theaters, but I did see the subsequent films in the theater.
We, of course, are mentioning the fact that Peter Mayhew, the man who played Chewbacca, and I looked at his IMDb, that's mostly what he did.
Yeah, that's what he did.
7'3"
and
played Chewie all the way up until Force Awakens.
Which he did do a few scenes in Force Awakens, right?
I believe he did. Well, I'm not sure.
I think it was partial.
But yeah, he was in his 70s, and first off, kudos to NPR for the coverage. It was brought up on 1A and Here and Now, and I think there's been a slew of artwork and love for the guy. I was seven and I saw Star Wars in the theater, and this might have been for some of us the first acknowledgement or first awareness or first introduction to the sidekick, and it was a giant Wookiee who only a select few could imitate. And he tended to be one of your favorite characters, if not the favorite, at the top of the Star Wars cast list.
He was like one of the best characters of that franchise. Like, he was just fantastic.
So yep,
and didn't say a word that we understood.
And that's good acting.
Yeah,
that's and the fact that you were able to utilize your size, that's very, very cool.
I got to meet him a couple times.
Did you?
Yeah, he was a very nice gentleman. back when Indianapolis held the Star Wars celebrations.
Yes.
I did meet him twice, and his lovely wife who traveled with him, and they were both just sweethearts. He was an amazing man.
There was, I know she has now made, I believe it's...
Peter Mayhew Foundation?
Or that, and his web or his Twitter page, I believe, is at the Wookiee Win. But there has been a slew, but the favorite one I saw, of course, was Harrison Ford. And this is grumpy Harrison Ford. You know, anytime you can get him in a light moment or a vulnerable moment, which is rare.
Rare, very rare.
But the fact that he wrote, "I love Peter Mayhew," and his wife responded with, "We know." Yep, I'm not crying, you're crying. Shut up. So thank you, Peter. Thank you for your work. And also this week, film director John Singleton, who became the first African American nominee for Best Director for Boys in the Hood, and also the youngest at 24.
And his first film.
Also got a screenwriting credit.
Yeah.
Or also got a screenplay nomination for that. And yeah, it was Terry Gross's Fresh Air replayed the interview that she had with him. And right out of the gate, I mean, he demanded that he direct it. Didn't want anybody else to do it. And he actually said, because I don't want Alan Parker to direct this. And he said, why? And talked about how he would make, I believe he'd make Furious, he would make the Lawrence Fishburne character a preacher, and the son would be a little more angelic. And anyway, I was like, wow, right? So, but this is one of the most important films of the 1990s. I think it's one of the best film debuts for a director.
It still holds up.
Still, yeah. I watched it again this week, and I think to a certain degree, as I watched it again, here you go, scholars. It feels like a Greek play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you had that a little bit with Do the Right Thing, where you had definitely the Greek chorus in the three guys and Smiley and Senior Love Daddy. But if you look at these characters, it is a Greek tragedy. It's not in Greece. It's in Compton. In the 90s. So. But, you know, shifted Lawrence Fishburne into grown-up roles, introduced the world to Angela Bassett, Cuba Gooding Jr., Morris Chestnut, best performance from Ice Cube.
Yeah, his first movie, was it not?
I believe that was his first film. Introduced a lot of people to Academy Award winner Regina King.
Yes.
And if you look through so with that, yeah, one of the best films. It launched a slew of urban survival stories. Probably the best of the lot after this was Menace to Society from the Hughes brothers. But a slew of those, not exploitation, mm-hmm. but it opens up into a world that you and I had no concept of or didn't want to think about. And he got to shine a light on that aspect. And the blessing and the curse was, I think everything he did after that was compared to that. His follow-up was Poetic Justice, which I remember reviewing, and you know it's probably the best thing Janet Jackson's ever done. Mm-hmm. Really good performance from Tupac. It's a romantic road film, but it's also got a little bit of Boys in the Hood mixed in.
Yeah.
And that's another one I need to revisit. I need to revisit Higher Learning, which felt like it wasn't his school days, but he was trying to cover a lot of different topics happening on a college campus. His criminally underseen film Rosewood from 1997.
I never saw that one.
Oh, really, really good. And it's about basically a small town in the South, a small black town in the South that was burnt down by white folks. John Voight, Don Cheadle, Ving Rhames in the starring role. And because he had a great work as a filmmaker. Even the genre films. Nobody really needed a remake of Shaft. And however, if you're gonna do it in 2000, I guess Sam Jackson's a great choice. And if you didn't see American Psycho, you got to see Christian Bale do another, you know, white smarmy business guy. But the film also, for a lot of people, introduced everyone to Jeffrey Wright.
Mm-hmm.
Who almost steals the film as the villain. Baby Boy is another film I need to revisit. That introduced people to Tyrese Gibson. Too Fast. I remember reviewing Too Fast, Too Furious, and like I was on Fox 59 AM. No, I was not at that time. I was doing radio, but I remember actually liking it because it didn't have Vin Diesel, and he had a director behind it, and he knew he was making a video game.
Yeah.
And in 2005, I revisited this. This was a film, I remember it was number 10 on my best of 2005, Four Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Basically a ghetto version of The Sons of Katie Elder, the John Wayne Western, set in Detroit. Mark Wahlberg. Andre Benjamin, Tyrese Gibson, Garrett Hedlund, all of them. Then you have, and I forgot that they were in this, Taraji P. Henson, before she was Taraji P. Henson, Sofia Vergara. Your villain is Chiwetel Ejiofor, always good to see. Fiona Flanagan as the adopted mother of the four brothers. She is killed, and the adopted sons reunite, and they're going to find out what happened. That's basically Sons of Katie Elder, but set in, at that time, modern-day Detroit, with a great use of the late 60s, early 70s Motown catalog.
Mm.
And you're going to hear a piece of music that was used in that at the end of tonight's show. But it's unabashedly a genre picture. It's a popcorn picture. It's a really well-done popcorn picture. There's a lot of gunplay, and the climax is a fist fight on ice. Literally.
Can't go wrong.
There's that. He also did the Marion Jones documentary Press Pause for the 30 for 30. Nobody's perfect. He also did Taylor Lautner's film Abduction. Moving on. And then directed a lot of TV. Empire, Rebel, Billions, and Snowfall.
He did some Michael Jackson
music. Remember the Time,
too.
I believe, is the one he did. Because I saw a picture of Eddie Murphy and Michael and him.
Yeah.
Yes, Remember the Time. So, 1992. So, your thoughts on Singleton?
He was amazing. Boys in the Hood was, I mean, it was a game changer growing up. It was an amazing, amazing film. And, you know, as was the rest of his catalog, like, you knew who he was, you knew what you were going to get, and he was just a consistent filmmaker.
Exactly. So if you've not seen these folks, we just gave you his IMDb. Go look for it. I wound up looking streaming, and no luck, and I looked in my town library, and no, this is why I own things, folks. I'm sorry. So, all right, Craig, once again, tell people when and where and all the 5 W's and the H with the Indie Film Festival.
Indie Film Fest is now open, playing at New Fields. We've got 143 different films playing throughout the 10 days. It ends on Sunday, the 12th, I believe it is, with our Best of the Fest, with all the award-winning films, which it is a cash prize kitty, so the films that win get a walk away with some money. There's literally something for everybody. Visit our website, indiefilmfest.org. It'll help you suss out the movies that you like by category, by style. You'll find, you know, whether it's a feature or a short, come check it out. And then I can almost guarantee you'll find 10 other movies that you probably didn't realize that you were going to like. One of the best things that you could do is come to a shorts block, find a short that you think is interesting. It'll be programmed with similar style movies, and you'll walk away a fan of quite a few.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, I'm going to wrap things up with a contest. I'm sorry, Craig.
Can I win?
No, you're a winner already.
All right.
But I'm going to play for you the words to live by. If you are a longtime listener, you know what this is. I'm going to play for you the words to live by, which have always been words to live by on the Film Sociology Show. If you email me at msoci@wfyi.org, and tell me one, if not both, of the titles, two people will get a chance to win free streaming of films from Film Movement, which is for
it's a great service.
It's not quite Film of the Month Club, but they have a great gaggle of films from all over the globe, all over, you know, all different styles. There's classic stuff. So anyway, if you're into streaming, like I know you are, and I'm the old fogey who talks about this, but anyway, so I'm going to play Words to Live By. Email me at msoci@wfyi.org and put Film Sociology in the subject line and give me the titles, and two people could win free streaming from Film Movement, free movies from Film Sociology. You're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
msoci@wfyi.org. Tell me the titles, put film sociology in the subject, and two of you could get free streaming from Film Movement.
I just sent my email, so.
Craig, it's always a pleasure to have you in studio. Thank you.
It is always a pleasure to come visit.
Give my best to the family.
I shall.
Home and at work.
Yes.
So go see a good movie. Go to a film festival. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, Michigan. Here's a little bit of Tea Plays It Cool by Marvin Gaye. Definitely used in the menu of the DVD of Four Brothers, but it's also originally from Trouble Man, but also utilized in Four Brothers. Thanks, John. Thanks, Peter. Enjoy.
You've let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What kind of parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!